A Kiss in the Desert. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1870. The Earl of Bracken walked into White's Club in St. James's Street. "Good morning, my lord," the porter greeted him. "Good morning, Jackson," the Earl replied. "Is Captain Kenwood here yet?" "No, my lord, but there's a letter for you that has just arrived." He produced a sky-blue envelope, and the Earl took it from him and put it in his pocket before walking into the coffee-room. There were two members of the club whom the Earl knew well, sitting in the bow window, which had been made famous by Beau Brummel. They were deep in conversation, and he had no wish to join them, so he walked quickly to the other end of the room and sat down in a corner. He ordered a bottle of champagne from the steward and almost reluctantly opened a letter which had been waiting for him. It was, as he knew, from Lady Grantham, as there was a faint scent emanating from the paper which he recognised. He considered it a mistake for Irene to write to him using anything so noticeable as her sky-blue writing-paper. She had made it specially her own, and the Earl knew it was recognised by the porters in his club, as well as by most servants in houses in Mayfair. As he expected, the letter was a long effusion of love, and was mingled with urgent requests for him to come to her as quickly as possible. He read it through and tucked it away into his pocket. It was increasingly obvious that Irene Grantham was becoming somewhat of a problem, and one that he was finding increasingly difficult to solve. After the Earl had travelled round the world at his father's suggestion, he had returned to England looking for amusement, and it had not been hard to find. As he was exceedingly handsome, well off, and heir to the Dukedom of Brackenshaw, he was on the list of every society hostess. He was also on the list of ambitious mothers of daughters they hoped would make a good matrimonial catch. The Earl had long been determined not to marry until he was very much older. Although he was the heir to his father's title, he had a brother who would take his place if he did not produce a son. He made it very clear to his relatives that if he did marry, it would be his own choice, and he did not need their advice nor to be in any way pushed into matrimony. What happened next was inevitable. A large number of attractive and colourful married ladies had made London society the talk of Europe, and the Earl had quickly found one amongst them who fascinated him. When he had first seen Irene, he had recognised that she was different from the women he had met on his travels. They gravitated towards each other almost instinctively. Very slim, with dark hair and flashing green eyes, Irene was sinuous and exotic. She fastened herself, as it were, around any man she fancied. He found it impossible either to ignore her or to move away. As soon as he met the Earl, she knew at once that he was exactly what she had been looking for. She had been married when she was just 18 to Lord Grantham. He was old enough to be her father, but was anxious to produce a son and an heir. He also found Irene irresistible. He had been married to a woman who was a perpetual invalid, and he had found her extremely boring only a few months after they were married. When she died, he told himself that if he married again, it would be his choice and not that of his relatives. He had fallen head over heels in love, as only an elderly man can when he was first introduced to Irene. Her father was a country squire from a well-known and respected family, but with very little money. He and his wife were overwhelmed and delighted when Lord Grantham started to woo their daughter, conveniently ignoring the difference in their ages. Irene had been ambitious from the moment she was born. She had always desired more from life, and she was determined to outshine her friends and her relations. Lord Grantham had then proposed to her. She realised that he could take her away from the parochial boredom of the country to the bright lights of Mayfair. As soon as they were married, Irene began to shine as a London hostess, and she found that most of her husband's friends, although they were elderly, were members of the House of Lords. Her parties, which were lacking in the younger generation, became...